CH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Former FBI Director James Comey heads to federal court today under the direction from President Trump's newly installed federal prosecutor in Virginia.
Ahead of Comey's arraignment, the Department of Justice has added two assistant U.S. attorneys from out of state to work on the case. An FBI agent was reportedly relieved of duty after refusing to help stage a public arrest of Comey, though FBI Director Kash Patel called those reports false.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio in Washington. Day 8 of the government shutdown. It's having an effect on the nation's airports. Air traffic controllers are working without pay. Thousands of flights delays yesterday. National Guard troops now positioned outside Chicago, and they could be in Memphis on Friday as the Trump administration pushes ahead with policies against American cities run by Democrats. Israel and Hamas entering the third day of peace talks in Egypt, with more senior officials from the United States now taking part. All sides have been expressing optimism for a deal to end the war. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Justice has asked a Waukesha County judge to pause a court order requiring the Wisconsin Elections Commission to verify the citizenship of registered voters prior to the February election. The DOJ submitted the request for a stay on Monday, pending an appeal of the Friday court order. Circuit Court Judge Michael Maxwell scheduled a hearing on the stay request for October 31st. Attorney General Josh Call says the court order would require a massive overhaul of the state's voter registration system. Governor Tony Evers and the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin are highlighting additional access to Inflation Reduction Act home energy rebates as temperatures begin to cool down across the state. Residents will now have access to instant discounts and post-purchase rebates through the Home Electrification and Appliance Rebates Program directly at retail locations. The program is meant to help low- and moderate-income households purchase and install more energy-efficient appliances to lower costs and reduce overall energy use. Northwest Wisconsin organizations are inviting area residents to a number of events honoring Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Officials from Embrace are promoting a number of events with various local partners, including libraries, small businesses, and grocery stores, in an effort to highlight the available resources for people struggling with domestic violence. The organization is also inviting area residents to participate in their 6th annual Survived and Incarcerated in Wisconsin letter writing event, which will be held virtually on October 30th. Ashland School District officials say the closure of Northland College last spring could have a significant impact on their staffing going forward. According to a Fox 21 report, Superintendent Rob Prater says about 15% of the district's staff were Northland College graduates. They say they managed to fill staffing gaps this year through job fairs, as well as hiring people who had previously worked at Northland College. District officials are also expressing concerns about losing some of the development programs it offered in partnership with the college. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
Brewers and Cubs in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game 3 of the NLDS. After 2 wins in Milwaukee, Brewers manager Pat Murphy asked what is he expecting from the Cubs fans at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to be here a number of times in the last 10 years. I know how great this crowd can be, how impactful it can be, just like ours were the last 2 games.
Right-hander Quinn Priester on the mound for the Brewers on facing the Cubs.
They know what they're going to get. We know what we're going to get. And it's just, you know, go to battle. And just, we're going to keep punching back. They're going to keep punching, see who comes out on top. And if we play our solid baseball and we execute the way we can execute on the mound at the plate, we're really confident in our team.
NFL, the Packers getting ready to host the Bengals Sunday. Cincinnati making a trade, sending a 5th-round pick to the Browns for veteran quarterback Joe Flacco. The Bengals losing 3 in a row with backup Jake Browning after Joe Burrow had toe surgery. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It is going to be sunny today with a high in the upper 50s to low 60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. There could be a few spots that get a little frost, especially further north, but lows generally mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 23.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local civic media radio station.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local civic media radio station.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'll be joined by Emily Cherniak, founder and executive director of New Politics, an organization designed to help build the Democratic pipeline of candidates who are truly ready to lead.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Another day or so of this. Here he goes.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. He's probably tired of me doing this, because I'm a little tired of doing this, but we have to have it accurate. We can't say he's live at Lake Mesota. He's not.
No.
He's the founding editor of Up North News. He's Pat Kreitlow.
And here he is now. Thank you, Parker Olson. Appreciate it very much. Nice to have you back here on this Wednesday morning, October 8th, again for another day or two here from Texas, and then back to the Lake Wasota studio, which will be awfully nice, but always nice to visit family as well. Coming up and standing by is Ellie Bordeaux, our new newsletter editor at Up North News, and then later this hour in our homeroom segment, we will be talking to an official for an education advocacy group, talking about how down here in Texas, the growth of the voucher school program funded by taxpayers has been explosive to the point of troubling. And so we'll see what kind of lessons we can take away from Texas to prevent what could become a billion-dollar boondoggle for taxpayers supporting private schools and public schools. Should taxpayers really be asked to fund two education systems in Wisconsin? We'll talk all about that coming up. And then at 8:35, we're going to be talking to Chuck Collins, grandson of Oscar Mayer. So he knows a thing or two about family fortunes, and he specializes in wealth inequality issues and has a new book out called Burned by Billionaires, and about the changes that'll be necessary to the American political system before billionaires ruin too much more of society, the planet, our politics, and more. So if you can't hang around for that at 8:35, be sure to subscribe to us as a podcast. Head over to Spotify and follow us that way, or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along. And of course, we'd love to have you follow along with our newsletter, our unabashedly Wisconsin news that's provided every weekday by Ellie Bordeaux. You just sign up at upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner, and the aforementioned Ellie Bordeaux joins us now to talk all about what's in today's issue and beyond. Ellie, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Pat?
Good, thank you. So good to see you again here. And you've come back for a second week. So Parker and I clearly
didn't scare away. Not, wow.
Yeah. No. Nope. We did good.
You're back. Record.
No, you did not. I'm back.
Yep. So Ellie's been producing the newsletter. What are we at? 4 weeks here, roughly.
Yeah, like just over a month, I think.
Mm-hmm. So, and we've appreciated it very much as we just continue to keep things rolling on stories that we cover at Up North News, some of the news stories, but then a whole lot of Wisconsin features as well. And we talked a lot in the past couple of days about it being Banned Books Week and coverage in the newsletter about that. But you also note that this is National Voter Education Week. And again, we don't have an election here anytime soon, but there's probably never a bad time to get to know more about, you know, what you need to do to be a registered voter and a good voter, frankly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this week, especially for National Voter Education Week, like you said, there's never a bad time to check your voter registration status. Make sure you're up to date on that. I remember I've talked to plenty of people that are like, I don't even know if I'm registered to vote, that kind of thing. So I think it's really important to make sure everyone's educated on what your polling place is, where are you registered, that kind of thing. Make sure everything's up to date. So yeah, bringing awareness to that is, there's no bad time for that for sure.
No, and again, you've been doing this long enough now as a voter and as a journalist to know that there are plenty of people who like to complain about things, and then you ask them if they vote, and they're like, oh, no, voting won't do me any good or whatever. And I feel like you and Parker already, despite, you know, being younger adults, I think you're already ready to throw that back at people, the old, you know, if you're not voting, you can't complain.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's that kind of thing is a little bit frustrating. So it's super important to go out and vote. You know, a democracy, that's how it works, is if you go out and vote, and can't do that if you're not registered. So make sure you check that, all that stuff.
It works better if you participate.
Yeah, exactly. And so you've got this new section called Civic Check-In. What's that about?
Yeah. So every week, every Wednesday, we're going to be starting, or I've started doing Civic Check-In. So every week, we're going to be taking a look at a new topic of just to check in on your civics. You know, do you know what this means? Is it impacting you? Just make sure people are informed on those kinds of things. So today we talked about authoritarianism and if it's impacting your daily life, what that is, what that looks like, those kinds of things. So,
and it's important to do that because there are words that get bandied about: authoritarianism, fascism, socialism, communist, a democratic republic. Are we a democracy or are we a republic? And so any of these little stories that can help shed some light make for more informed voters. And so Ellie's doing that through the newsletter. And then, of course, here on the radio show, we're bringing back what we've called Movement Mondays, part of the Movement Toward Protecting Democracy, where we have different groups come in on Monday mornings and talk about what their groups are doing to educate voters or get them registered or get people informed on the issues. And our friend Abby is working very hard to find some of the guests for those and solicit op-ed columns from them that run on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. So many ways that you can stay, you know, plugged in and increase your civic engagement, which, by the way, is at the heart of what we're all about at Up North News, is just boosting your civic engagement. However, we're also in the business of boosting your appetite for things and for food and for drink. And I recall that when we first talked about doing this story, the headline in the newsletter today is "Get a Taste of the Best of the 8 Best Food Halls in Wisconsin." And he had people going, "Food hall? What do you mean by that? Is that like the food court at the mall?" And no, if some folks who live near them say the Milwaukee Public Market might be the best known of them, but these are, well, tell people more about food halls and, you know, how you can find all kinds of variety at them.
Yeah, I mean, I think I love the Milwaukee Public Market. I think maybe I'm a little biased, but that's one of my favorite. But food halls for me is, or what I think of it as, is like, it's a place where there are a bunch of different vendors. You can go check out a bunch of different things. You've got a bunch of different options, you know, kind of take a taste of everything. So this story really dives into that. There's places all in Milwaukee. There's Mequon. There's Madison. I mean, you've got options all over the state. And this story really takes a look at that, like the Milwaukee Public Market. We've got the Mequon Public Market. We've got the market on the river in Chippewa Falls.
I was going to say that's the new one here. The Wisconsin Farmers Union put together when they overhauled this old building downtown right by the river and have turned it into, again, one of these food halls where you have different, you know, eating options, but you also have other markets and other vendors as well. So it's not the malls of the 70s and 80s. They're smaller and they're much more with an emphasis on local.
Yes, absolutely. So this story totally takes a look at all those things. And I mean, I think about the Milwaukee Public Market. I don't necessarily have experience at these other places or the one in Chippewa Falls, but I think about the Milwaukee Public Market, and you've got a spot where you can eat and you can take a little taste of everything. It's great. I love them. So.
Mm-hmm. So again, we've got that story again in our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. That is there as well. And let's see, what else do we have in there for today? Oh, we have, well, that's the story I worked on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new bill out there to ban absentee ballot drop boxes. And again, it's a bill that's not going to get past Governor Tony Evers, but it does, again, say something that we have lawmakers in the state who would remove the absentee ballot drop box option to voters. And so we just want to make sure that people know about it. Right, Ellie?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very important to, again, keep people informed on those kind of things, what's happening around the state, what's happening at our Capitol. So yeah, it's super important.
Okay. Let's see. Tony says on YouTube, oh, it's like a malt shop. Sure, it is. Rob from Tigerton says, good morning, Ellie. I love your work on the newsletter. And while we've got Rob here, he says, good morning from Tigerton. Clear and 32 degrees, the coldest since early May. He says, I mowed 4 yards in Tigerton yesterday. It was more mowing leaves than grass with the first freeze, that this could be the last week of mowing. Yeah, we've got the first freeze has definitely hit here. So mowing leaves is going to be much more the issue than it is going to be mowing grass, which means that Ellie is getting right into the thick of, here's where to see fall colors around the state.
Totally. Yes, exactly. We've taken a look at that, and all that stuff is in for the rest of fall. We've got a ton of fall activities all throughout Wisconsin. We talked about this, I think, a little bit last week of our fall guide. Mm-hmm. So that's published on our site now too. You can take a look at all the different fun activities, those kinds of things. We have stories on our site of when the leaves will peak, those kinds of things. Where are they at now? So fall in Wisconsin is my favorite. So
we got, yeah, there's not going to be any shortage of things to do. Is there anything on your own personal calendar, any road trips that you've got coming up, or I don't know, maybe you've got Packers or Brewers tickets coming up to something?
Well, I am going to Madison for the Ohio State game, going to the game, but I'm going to Madison to watch the game. We'll see how that goes. You know, Badgers have been a little bit rocky this season, but fingers crossed.
it's an experience, right, Parker? People are there for the experience more so than the score, which is what we say when you're playing one of the top teams in the country, right?
And you're not a good team.
and you're not a good team. Yes, we have to add that as well. So, all right, for all that and more of the things that Ellie's working on in our newsletter, sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner and get on board the weekday newsletter that she puts together, the Sunday morning one that I work on as well. And Ellie will join us on Wednesdays to give us a little taste of what's in some of these issues. Ellie, great to talk to you as always. Hope you have a wonderful day.
Yes, yeah, same to you. Thank you.
You bet. Now, tomorrow, Sherita Booker is going to be here, and we will be talking about weekend events that are coming up around Wisconsin. But Sherita also puts together some of the more popular posts of the past week. I mean, she posts everything that goes on Up North News social media, and then she shares with us some of the statistics of, you know, what's been popular lately. And that includes, over the past few days here, the Ellsworth teacher who lost her job over a social media post dealing with the Charlie Kirk murder. And what does that say when a congressman can attack a teacher's First Amendment rights like that? There's also the story that Selena Heller told us about on Monday about a woman from La Crosse and her, you know, rather emotional reaction to the prospect of not being able to afford health insurance anymore as the enhanced tax credits for the Affordable Care Act get set to expire at the end of this year and Republicans not wanting to renew them. Now, that still could change because that's really what's at the heart of the current government shutdown. But for the moment, a growing number of people are starting to realize what could happen to their health insurance bill if these enhanced premium credits are not extended. And so small wonder that that story got a lot of clicks over the past week. Same goes for the new backdoor abortion ban that came from the big bloated boondoggle from the president. It includes language in there that cuts Medicaid funding for Planned Parenthood. Now, Planned Parenthood does not get taxpayer funds for its abortion care services, but does for all kinds of other basic health services done in clinics all across the country, many that serve rural areas. And yet now that funding is looking to be cut, and essentially Planned Parenthood is forced to cut its abortion care services, at least temporarily, while that part of the law is being challenged in court. So those are just three examples that you could find on Instagram, searching for Up North News WI, about stories that are getting a lot of clicks, a lot of likes, a lot of shares, and a lot of comments. And we appreciate you doing that with everything that we put up on social media, is a share and let folks know that you saw it on Up North News. All right. We will be talking about the voucher programs here in Texas and then back in Wisconsin coming up in 15 minutes. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on The Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway, and from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping when they're overnight for farm stays. Pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, WBZH on a Wednesday morning. Joel and Gray ducking in here to annoy you. I mean, to entertain you. Gray, how we doing?
Good morning. Doing well today. It's a good day.
Yeah, cooled off this week. We're grabbing those sweatshirts out of the back of the closet. And they're a little wrinkled. We're like, I'll wear them once and then worry about getting the wrinkles out later, right?
Back of the closet. I've been wearing long johns for weeks.
I want to talk about something that we just very subtly brought up on one of our shows on the network last week. And that is the as-seen-on-TV era of our lives. And it, you know what? It amazes me that it still lives on. It still lives on. They're still there, not as much as they used to be, but the only available as-seen-on-TV, and then that even transformed into stores. There's as-seen-on-TV stores.
Yeah, as-seen-on-TV is now an aisle in your favorite Walmart, which... I mean, that's actually the only exposure I get to As Seen on TV products. So it's like, okay, time to rename the aisle.
It's almost like saying, you can't get it here.
Yeah.
But here it is. It's like, is what they're saying.
The entrance of the aisle should say, did you enjoy SkyMall that one time you were flying? Like, here you go. Here's your SkyMall in a Walmart aisle.
Well, nobody ever saw that for the first time, walked up to that, the As Seen on TV section, looked at it and went, wait a minute. Have I been lied to here? What's going on?
And I remember how we came onto this topic. We were talking about hearing aids and how you and I both have a loved one now who utilizes technology with the hearing aid as the vessel. You know,
right.
my mom phone calls, your mom television.
Yeah.
But that immediately led me to commercials for those listening devices. Do you remember the bionic ear, they called it?
Oh, geez.
Yes.
You could hear everything that's going on.
Yeah,
oh,
like,
and they would have the whisper from a distance. Oh, Susie, did you know that?
Yes, and it's like, hey, eavesdrop on your neighbors. Like, do you never leave the house, but you still want to eavesdrop? Like, here, just point this out your southern-facing window. But no, that like, and you can keep the volume low in bed while your significant other sleeps soundly, undisturbed by your quiet TV, but it's loud to you. No,
yeah.
that got me thinking. I was like, okay, and hoses that grow and and shoes with headlights on them.
Another KGB product.
Yeah, 100%. No. Actually, the pocket hose, that's, I mean, it's better than having no hose. I'll say that much.
Well, I will say that, I don't know if it was seen on TV, but the garden hoses they have now, that after the water goes out of it, they contract down into a small little ball, is a wonderful invention.
Yeah,
wonderful.
They're really neat, especially if you're an apartment dweller and somehow happen upon a need for a garden hose. Like,
yeah,
that is a rare conflux of things, but also happens more than it should. Like, I remember in my first apartment, I was like, I can't believe I need to buy a garden hose that I'm never going to need a second time. And we're not going to talk about how that came to be. We don't have time right now.
So as soon as the subject of As Seen on TV came up, the first thing for me that came to my mind was the clapper. Was the clap on, clap off. I'm not sure if that was an As Seen on TV, but I think it was one of those call where they repeat the 800 number like 18 times. Call now, 1-800, the clapper, 1-800, da 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 da, and they just repeat it. But the clapper was the first one that came to mind. How about you and your generation? What when we talk about As Seen on TV, what comes to mind first?
The first thing that comes to mind is OxyClean.
There you go.
And see, and you know what that means. You know who that means.
Yeah,
Billy Mays here for OxyClean.
Rest in peace.
Oh, yeah, and if you fell asleep on the couch, you woke up to Billy Mays here for OxyClean because he was going to wake you up. I think that was his point. I think that was his goal. It's like, hey, we're on at 3 a.m., guys, and we need to wake these people up and let them know. Also, I use OxyClean. Like, we are not affiliated with them. I'm not endorsing them, but I do use that product, so it's like, That one doesn't feel like it qualifies because that's a very normal product. And it's only not getting that treatment anymore, I think, because Billy Mays passed.
It was he was the king of selling products on TV. And there's a documentary out there about his life. Very highly competitive. I mean, you would think that, you make a commercial, you sell stuff, how hard can it be? No, highly competitive. There was a reason why he died at an early age. Very stressful and very competitive business.
Well, yeah. And I'm afraid certain substances directly contributed.
Yes,
but
yes.
That was, I mean, it, like many performers, he found that as, you know, that was an edge. That was something that helped, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, every time I drink another strong cup of coffee, I'm thinking, all right, let's tap the brakes a little bit. Because it's like, it's really easy to build up those cumulative effects just in the name of getting a couple words out more quickly. Not quite worth that.
They're definitely energetic. But when you brought up OxyClean, I immediately went to the, what was the glue that they would, or the tape that they would make a boat out of and it wouldn't sink? What was that?
Oh, Flex tape.
Flex tape.
Well, Flex Seal. You've got
Flex Seal. There you go.
I've got stereotypical ideas for what his name might be, and I don't want to guess, but it's just...
But the commercial was basically the boat was sinking, you know, and as the boat was sinking, they brought out Flex Seal, and then like 10 seconds later, boom, we're floating.
And then they did the screen door where they coated it with the product, and like that held water, even though it started as a screen door. They're pretty over the top. But I mean, it's honestly, it's an exercise in how do we really make theater out of a common, if powerful product. You know, super glue from a physics and material standpoint is really impressive stuff. It's kind of frightening how powerful that is.
Oh, I remember my first experience with super glue. I didn't believe it. I was probably 8 or 10 years old, and for some reason somebody had super glue on my school bus. Here we go back to school buses. And I just, for like 1 second, there was a drop of super glue, and my friend said, here, just put your finger on it. And literally for 1 second, I put my finger on it, and before I could get it off, my skin just immediately ripped off yep. the tip of my finger. I thought, whoa, it's true. It's true. I believe as seen on TV.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
If you're a connoisseur of butter, you may be feeling left out of a global trend. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. I'll explain what that's all about next.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Apparently, there is a global trend of consumers looking for pasture-raised butter. That's word from Dr. Greg Brickner. He is a veterinarian and a grazing specialist with the Dairy Grazing Apprenticeship. He said this is a market that the United States, to a large extent, is missing out on. Areas like New Zealand seem to be the blueprint moving forward, and he's investigating.
Really, the only place that a grazing dairy farmer can get a premium for their work is through organic and organic grass-fed markets then. And those are difficult markets to get into. They take time to transition into. And even though they have a very high pay price, they have very high input costs as well. So profitability is just as challenging in those. And so we're trying to provide a conventional grass-based market, much like is done in the rest of the world, New Zealand and Ireland.
Dr. Greg Brickner, he's a veterinarian and a grazing specialist with the Dairy Grazing Apprenticeship Program. He said if the United States can focus a little bit more effort on pasture-raised butter, the premiums could be there. Last year alone, American consumers bought and consumed an average of 2.7 million pounds of butter each day.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation. And did you know this is National 4-H Week? 4-Hers have been found to be twice as likely to have the goal of being a leader, three times more likely to participate in community service, and twice as likely to report living life with intentionality and purpose. Find out more at the number 4-H.org. There's your food news for Wednesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
It is going to be sunny today with a high in the upper 50s to low 60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. There could be a few spots that get a little frost, especially further north, but lows generally mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger public address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run, Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved. And frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin farmers and tariffs. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Darren Von Ruden will join us. I hope you can too.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
At 7:35. Nice to have you along here all across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Live this week down in Dallas doing some family visits, keeping up on the Wisconsin headlines, and in this segment, adding a bit of a Texas twist to it. Now, we've talked previously to our Courier Newsroom colleagues at Courier Texas about what's happening with public education in Texas and the voucher school program there. We've certainly talked to Cam Stevenson from the Copper Courier in Arizona, and now he's out on Capitol Hill, where again, there's continued pushes to use taxpayer dollars to support private, usually religious schools. And of course, every Wednesday at this time, we talk about public education in Wisconsin, and especially the ongoing threat from a voucher program that is rapidly approaching $1 billion in annual cost to taxpayers. And it still seems like a lot of taxpayers don't know that yet, although they're becoming more and more aware of it each time there's yet another school referendum in Wisconsin. So while I'm here in Texas this week, I thought we should maybe find out what is happening here, and are there things that are happening in Texas that we can take away as lessons to protect public education in Wisconsin? One of the groups working hard on this issue is IDRA. That stands for the Intercultural Development Research Association, and the IDRA deputy director is here now, Dr. Chloe Latham Sykes, and joins us from Austin, Texas. Dr. Sykes, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, we really appreciate it because, again, you've heard the setup of the problem that we're facing in Wisconsin of helping taxpayers understand that whether they know it or not, they are funding two school systems in our state. And the one is, you know, closing in on a 10-digit figure in the state budget. Can you give us a little background on the challenges that public schools face in Texas?
Oh, yes. I'm so glad that you're covering this topic. You know, this is a new terrain for Texas with this private school voucher program. You know, for Texas has over 5.5 million students in our public school system, pre-K through 12. We serve largest population of emergent bilingual or English learner students. Over half of our public school students are considered economically disadvantaged. You know, we're really diverse and we have a lot of needs. And Texas, unfortunately, has always fallen behind the curve in properly funding our public schools. This was a founding issue for the organization I work for, IDRA, establishing fair school funding across our 1,200 school district and charter schools now across the state. And for many, many years, for decades, we fended off proposals for a private school voucher program until now, unfortunately. And there could be a whole segment on the ins and outs and politics of how it happened. And that might be, you know, part of your questions. But essentially, we're going to hit the ground running next school year with a starting point of a $1 billion private school voucher program. And taxpayers in Texas will be funding two school systems going forward with our now, it'll be a universal and statewide private school voucher program.
And I'm wondering, when you talk about the background of it, I know that here in Wisconsin, the way that we have to remind people is it never grew as a standalone issue. Anytime voucher schools would be put up as a standalone bill, it wouldn't pass or it would get vetoed, or if it was a referendum, it would be taken down. But year after year after year, Republican lawmakers, usually with some Democrats, would insert it into the state budget as something, you know, one of those bills that has to pass. And so by and large, the growth of voucher schools has never been something that's been debated on its own merits. And as we said, it has over the years now been to this point where we're looking at the experience in other states and wondering what it is we might be able to do to stop this from becoming, you know, such a behemoth. But before we get to what we can do, let's continue just emphasizing where we are in Texas and other states right now. I'm starting to see a little bit of even Republican legislators in some of these states going, well, I support, you know, school vouchers. I support private schools. But as a fiscal conservative, I'm starting to get a little bit of concern about how big this is getting. Is there any evidence like that in Texas right now, or is it still full speed ahead for those folks who basically have a blank check for the voucher school program?
Yes. So our private school voucher program is authorized under what was Senate Bill 2 from this past legislative session in the spring that ended this spring in 2025. So this is our rulemaking year. We haven't even seen this fully hit the ground. This program is actually housed not in our education agency. It's housed within our state budget office and the Controller of Public Accounts office. And so they just authorized the organization that's going to be administering applications and providers. It's going to be Odyssey, which is a major tech firm out of New York that's done some of these programs. But there was a lot of pushback in the back and forth in the debates. And this proposal died in 2023. It was a major fight. Like you said, a private school voucher program in 2023 for us was tied to a major school funding bill. And we came back for four special sessions after the regular session ended, the most in Texas history in one calendar year, to finally have, they had a final giant bill, House Bill 1, that had all the bait in it. It had funding for schools. It had increases to the per pupil allotment, basic allotment. It had teacher pay. It had accountability changes. It had all this stuff, and it had a voucher program. This is fall 2023. And there was a motion on the House floor from a Republican, an outgoing Republican, rural Republican member to strike that article from House Bill 1, to strike it and take out that voucher portion, keep all the school funding bait. And they had the votes. It passed. So then the author took down the whole bill, right? So that was the major, that was the first time we'd seen the voucher program get to the House floor debate. Our Senate has been passing these out, you know, no problem. But it was the first time it got to the House floor and it died. Now, then we saw a wave of political pressure that got a fair amount of coverage. Millions of dollars coming in from outside sources to the Texas governor to support Republican primary challenges in the spring of 2024. And they were successful. And they got a new House composition of Republicans that were going to be pro the private school voucher program. And so entering 2025, it was pretty hectic. I mean, we had the bill coming out of the Senate in the first couple weeks of session, which, I mean, you can appreciate. Normally, you're just talking about budget, you're assembling committees. They had it going on in January coming out. And in the House, that's where the fight was always going to be. And so what we ended up seeing, what we knew was going to happen, was there was still a holdout of particularly rural Republican members in Texas who knew this is going to be real harmful to our school districts. And they knew what they were hearing from superintendents and teachers and families. On the day of the vote, they were going to make a motion to have a push it to a referendum in November, put it to the voters, as some other states have done. And the president called the GOP caucus. They put him on speakerphone. They had a caucus meeting the morning of the House vote. And he said, get in line, ultimately. I mean, this has been covered. It was brought, you know, it was put out. And it took a call from the president. And they got in line behind the vote. Two Republicans voted against it on the House floor that evening in April. So there was a lot of holdout till the House debate. But ultimately, I think politics won.
Well, yeah, because they obviously, if they're ready to go in January, then you clearly have outside groups that are doing their homework and are trying to put something through. This is hardly anything that's organic at all. And it's where special interests, you know, have the money to be able to hit the ground running and ram these kinds of things through. We're talking to Chloe Latham Sykes from IDRA, the Intercultural Development Research Association out of Austin, Texas, about the growth of school vouchers and taxpayer funds for them. And so at the heart of some of these Republican fiscal conservatives getting alarmed at the price tag of it. Now, of course, in this case, they were primaried and they were bounced so that the special interests protecting private schools could get their way. But I wonder if, Dr. Sykes, what we learned in there is the path forward is really all about information, making sure not just that these fiscal conservative legislators understand the cost, but that all of their constituents, that all these taxpayers understand. I feel like that's the part that's been missing here in Wisconsin, is enough messaging to help people understand that, hey, nobody's against private schools per se, but it's about our tax dollars going there. Is communication the path forward, the best path forward, or are there other avenues as well?
That was key. That was absolutely key. And the fact is, we know we had a 21-hour committee hearing in the House. That might send chills down your spine about this bill. And it was hundreds of families coming out across the state to say, please don't do this. We know. And that was bipartisan. There was bipartisan pushback saying this is actually not fiscally conservative. The starting point is $1 billion. It's estimated in the first 5 years to go past $10 billion. Again, we're going to see how it's implemented next year. But people understanding it has no real accountability for academic and student achievement or financial accountability. The company that's not been chosen to run it was kicked out of the Idaho program because of fraud. And so spreading that message and the research around these programs are bad for student performance. They are bad for taxpayer accountability. They're bad for state budgets. Just look to Arizona, who has been scrambling over their ballooning private school voucher program. That was a key part of the messaging. And that monitoring and research is something we're going to continue to be lifting up and trying to continue to message. I mean, people feel it. We have school closures going on left and right. And even with some school funding that came down in the legislative session as well, I think the pressure of this program and how it'll grow as evidenced in other states is going to be felt very deeply, very quickly.
So what are your next steps? What is the IDRA working on, and how can people learn more about it?
Yes, we have a basic infographic. If you go to our website, idra.org/news/TX voucher law, just to see some of the nuts and bolts of what it is. We have been trying to push people to engage in the rulemaking process of, hey, this program's getting implemented. Your voice still matters, to put some guardrails on this thing. There was just a first round of rules that came out, and there's going to be more. So trying to get people engaged. If they subscribe to idra.org, they'll be able to receive all our alerts and infographics, data dashboards, and additional research that we put out to show how this will affect public schools.
And there are all kinds of good, active people with the Wisconsin Public Education Network who I know are taking everything that you said to heart, and will be looking for all kinds of other ideas to partner in ways that protect our public schools in Wisconsin and Texas and beyond. Chloe Latham Sykes is the Deputy Director of Policy for IDRA out of Austin, Texas. Dr. Sykes, it was a pleasure meeting you. Thank you so much for so much background and inspiration going forward.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care now. When we come back in our next hour, we will be talking to Chuck Collins from the group Patriotic Millionaires about the billionaire class in this country. And how do you keep them from, much like the voucher school program, from gobbling up everything? And it involves making some fundamental changes to the system. But again, people got to know about it. Chuck Collins is trying to do his part. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Concerned residents in the town of Stella near Rhinelander packed their town hall to demand answers from the EPA and DNR about PFAS contamination. The toxic forever chemicals have been found at high levels in drinking water and waterways across the area. The DNR says that contamination came from industrial sludge spread on farm fields by two nearby paper companies. Wisconsin's coastal communities are getting more money to help improve and protect shore lines. In celebration of Coastal Awareness Month, the Wisconsin Department of Administration is handing out $1.3 million in Wisconsin Coastal Management Program grants to 35 communities across our state. Right now on the Defender podcast, the amazing story of one Wisconsin food that was banned, burned, disappeared from our plates, and the comeback that's being helped along by solar farms. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wednesday morning, Buzz of the North, WBZH, Joel M. Gray taking over for 7.5 minutes. What shall we do, Mr. Gunderson? What shall we do?
Talk about glue.
Let's talk. We did that already. By the way, if you missed it, the 722 segment, don't set your... What is it? Don't set your hat on fire with glue.
Yeah, don't glue your hat.
Don't glue your hat.
Don't glue your hat. Seriously, though, it was cheap super glue on a Stormy Cromer hat. Smoke began, and I thought, what? Googled it, and yeah, glue can make fire with fabric.
Interesting. I wanted to talk today a little bit about something that everybody experiences, whether it's middle school, grade school, high school, when it comes to sports, going watching your kids or watching it on TV, and that is the progression of the sports celebration. And it happens, and nobody talks about it too much, that, you know, in the old days, it used to be a good old-fashioned, you know, handshake or just a good old-fashioned handshake with a swipe, you know, just a little slap of the hand. You know, that was the good going. And then somehow that progressed into slaps on the butt. That was, when I was in school, the slap of the butt was very common. Somebody did something good, you just reached over and just gave them a good whack on the tush.
I don't know how that ever came to be.
I don't know either.
But not to bog us down, but I want to point out that you might have kind of skipped a step there.
Okay. All right.
The high fives, they used to be like below the waist.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the little, and no eye contact. Like, mm-hmm. We are not doing this, hey, we got a handshake, swinging them wide. Like, no, just a bop, done.
Yeah.
You know, almost like the tuchus smack. It was the just two hands, and like one on the way out of the dugout, one on the way in, and we've got business to attend to. I've got sitting down to do. You've got bat to do. Like,
let's get
little
to
tap
it.
Of the hand. But that evolved, and that became like, okay, with this particular player, I've got a different handshake, and it's out here in front of us, and it's a theatrical moment. And now Terrell Owens is getting decked by people, and like the progression was pretty fast.
It went from the low five to the. I wonder if the high five was like an accident. I wonder if like some kid had his hand raised for an answer in school. At some point, and somebody just came by and just went, you know, high-fived him. But the high-five still does live on, but you're right. You're right. The high-five was after the slap on the butt. It was a slap on the butt, and then it went to the high-five, and then it went to the fist bump was later. It kind of went to a chest bump. We like the chest bump now, jump and chest bump, and the fist. The fist bop. That came to be pandemic. Pandemic made that kind of commonplace now, the fist bump.
With a brief appearance of elbows and social distancing. I love the idea that there's a sports historian telling us out there, yelling at their car speakers, you got the order wrong, you got the order wrong. And of course, it's not so delineated as that. It's the way I picture it, you're more describing the ingredients of a salad thrown into a bowl, and now you can kind of take your pick player by player. You've got volleyball players out there showing you that they can just disagree with gravity sometimes, like, hey, let's lock hips and fly for a second. Basketball players too, that whole hip to hip thing, it's like, man, you guys were up there for a long time. I don't know, do people just jump a little higher when they do it together? It's cute, but
yeah. And injuries that result from celebrations are always are always hard to watch and fun to watch at the same time. Just like, you gotta celebrate, but yeah, don't end up on the injured list after the celebration.
There was a year, I think it was like 2014 or 2015, where two players celebrating in the NFL tore their ACLs doing the same thing. And what they were trying to do was imitate Cristiano Ronaldo and his little jump and spin in the air thing that he does.
Mm-hmm.
But what they were doing was they were landing and like flaring their knees out to the outside, both of them, when they landed. And one of them was Stephen Tulloch of the Lions. And I remember that because he sacked Aaron Rodgers and then he celebrated and tore his ACL. And I was like, I'm just enough of a little jerk to enjoy that. Like, yeah. I know how horrible that is now, but like the next week they had a doctor because it had happened 2 weeks in a row. Two people did the same celly tore their ACLs. He's like, this is why it happens. Guys, stop. Like, it's going to keep happening if you do it.
So the next Hayward Hurricane game you go to, or Spooner Rails, just put that Joel Karnick analytical mind into process and just watch the five. I mean, the traditional little low fives are there. Yeah, that's kind of the starting point of the confidence of celebrating. But when you get to high school, yeah, they, especially the pregame warmups, you know, there's choreographed, little high fives and bumps and celebrations at the beginning. And I like it. I like it all. But I still can't get over the fact when we talk about the original slap on the butt. I had a flashback to high school when someone was standing at the free throw line and they shot a free throw and made it. The teammates in front would come up and like high five, but the guy who was in the back, like standing at half court, I remember would always come up and would just like, just goose the guy, just like give him a tap on the butt saying, good shot. And I thought to myself, we did that today. What would the announcers say if that happened today, if that guy at midcourt just came up and just got a good goose in?
I'm sure there's still a decent amount of it, but like, you know, I mean, the roots are obvious, you know. It's just like, I want you to know that I approve of what you did. You know, there's a team psychology thing there. There's a camaraderie to it, but it's like, why is butt touching the form? You know, how did we get there?
There's still a little bit of it in football. I mean, you see it once in a while. There's still a little tush slapping going on.
Right, and I don't want the answer. I'm just asking the question. I am curious. How do we get here? Don't tell me, but how do we get here?
Yeah, and then, of course, it's gone all the way to the choreographed celebrations, which the NFL banned for years, the No Fun League. And then the NFL said, okay, in certain situations, after turnovers and whatever, we'll allow you to go into the end zone and, you know, and do this thing that you put together while you're playing video games at 2:00 in the morning in the hotel room the night before. I think that's fun. I think that's added a lot of fun, I think, for the players and for the fans too. It doesn't go too far.
No.
Usually.
And unless those rare moments come along, my favorite is when the NFL becomes a caricature of its former self and they end up donating in the form of player fines with that Salvation Army bucket thing. And that's it's the Cowboys, which I detest. But I love that they're doing something that fun and cool that goes to some form of charity. I love how far we've come. But I agree. It just basically, I love that it's there, that they don't completely ban it anymore because, walk that line. Celebrate with your teammates. Don't rub it in the face. You know, the loss already stings. You don't have to add to it. And celebrations absolutely are a part of all of that.
And there's always players looking to push the line with the pen lodged in the padding of the goalpost, and they grab it and sign the football and throw it in the crowd.
We won't talk about that.
Push the line. And the Randy Moss moon, of course.
Disgusting act.
We'll do a whole show about that. More with Pat Kreitlow coming up here on WBZH. I hope your Wednesday is fabulous here. It is 7:59.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Day 8 of the government shutdown. It's having an effect on the nation's airports, where air traffic controllers are working without pay. Thousands of flight delays yesterday. Former head of the FBI, James Comey, heads to federal court today under direction from President Trump's newly installed federal prosecutor in Virginia.
Ahead of Comey's arraignment, the Department of Justice has added two assistant U.S. attorneys from out of state to work on the case. An FBI agent was reportedly relieved of duty after refusing to help stage a public arrest of Comey, though FBI Director Kash Patel called those reports false.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. National Guard troops now positioned outside Chicago, and they could be in Memphis on Friday as the Trump administration pushes ahead with those policies. Israel and Hamas entering a third day of peace talks in Egypt as more senior officials from the United States now take part. All sides have been expressing optimism for a deal to end the two-year-old war. This is ABC.